Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. It's B. Mitchell Finley. Good morning, Brian. How do you do?
I'm good, JP. What's happening with you, brother?
I'm good, man. We had a fun day. Me and B got to play golf. I covered the spread that Lanfield laid out, barely.
Did Lanfield or Jeff lay that out?
Whoever laid it out, I covered. I thought I was going to cover pretty well, and then things got away from me a little. The old Hazel rocket.
Yeah, you seem to do that after a certain amount of other things.
Yeah. It's funny how one thing correlates to the other. I want to get up here and talk about some awesome afternoon we had yesterday. The rain held off. I want to get up here and talk about the Florida Panthers and winning the Stanley Cup last night and really just completely destroy. I mean, you realize one dude had four goals last night?
Yeah. Hey, man, did he have, 15 in the whole?
Bennett.
Bennett won the thing.
Reinhardt had four last night.
He scored seven in the last two or three, wasn't it?
The Panthers are just an absolute wagon. Congrats to them and their fans. Those are the things I want to talk about. Unfortunately,
we got to talk about some bad stuff.
We got to talk about the bad stuff, man. And when... You know, so we played golf kind of late into the night because we teed off at, 3 o'clock? And by the time we got in front of a TV, the Nats were down 10-1 to the Colorado Rockies. Yeah. And I think it's worth reminding people that as of Sunday evening, before the Rockies got to Washington, they were 14-57 and had amassed the worst 72-game record in Major League Baseball history.
Yeah.
And in two games in Washington now, they're 2-0.
But didn't they have hit four home runs in a row or something like that in one inning?
It's last night, and good for the Nats to come back a little late in that game if we're looking for silver linings here. But
you call that a comeback, or you call that, look, man, we don't care what y'all do. Y'all can't catch up.
Well, it's also the Rockies pitching stinks. Yeah. You should be hitting them. But it's losing 10 in a row. This is only the second time in Nationals history they've lost 10 in a row. And there have been some awful, awful, awful Nats teams, all right?
Yeah.
They score four in the bottom of the ninth to make it look a little better. But, the home team got booed loudly last night. The home team got booed loudly last night. I wonder if we can get... Our stance has been pretty clear. I don't think the learners are giving this team a chance to win, but at a certain point, that can't be the only thing going on.
Yeah, pride begins to play a factor in it. And listen, the manager sets it up, and yes, he's going to get a lot of blame. That manager didn't throw either one of those home run balls. And people go, oh, well, I understand losing the locker room is one thing. But if your pitcher is throwing balls that get knocked out the park, four in a row, whatever, four in one inning, that's not all on the manager. So, yes, the manager should be scrutinized and he's going to be checked. And, yeah, when you're in this thing, when you're the guy who makes the decisions, you normally are the first one to be blamed. But then you got to start looking down the line and see if the ingredients that have been placed in the cupboard, are they good enough to win? And compete. So you got some that are. Some aren't.
Yeah, I mean, there is obviously young talent to be excited about. Nobody's denying that. But clearly, to me, the roster they put together was a sub-500 roster, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Vegas had their win total at, 72 or something? Maybe 70 and a half? Like, the projections from the odds makers had them roughly 10 games below 500. So that's the roster you've built. The problem is they're now underperforming that.
Yeah.
And you lose 10 in a row. you lose 10 in a row, everything's on the table at that point.
Hell yeah.
You've now lost 5 in a row to the Marlins and the Rockies.
Yeah.
This is not, this West Coast trip they're about to go on, you go play the Dodgers and the Padres, you lose those 6, okay, I get it. But, this is not where you're supposed to be dropping games like this.
No.
And I thought the Junks did a really good job with Rizzo this morning. I always applaud Rizzo's ability to stand up in the face of the fire. Like, he won't back down. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I think our listeners know how you and I feel about Mike. I'm pretty friendly with Mike. I think most of the folks here at the station are. I think his ability to do what he does best has been very limited by ownership. But at some point, much like the coaches aren't the ones out there striking out and giving up homers,
yeah,
the learners aren't striking out and giving up homers either. Like, the players need to be held accountable. The managers, everybody.
But the manager and the GM needs to have the ability to be able to get the right roster to compete.
Well, and I look at this thing. You got Mitch Parker on the bump tonight. What you need an ace to be is a guy that can stop losing streaks. Just the way it shakes out here, they don't even get McKenzie until they get to L.A. Friday night against the Dodgers, you get McKenzie Gore on the mound. But then he's facing the Dodgers lineup. Oh, and it's Clayton Kershaw on the other side. So, if you can't break this thing against the Rockies, who are god-awful, you look down the line here, and I don't know where this goes. I think
this is where it goes, Jay. You remember just a few years back when Washington was very, very mediocre?
Yeah.
And we would always talk about when the team rolled in, oh, yeah, we should beat them. This should be a win. And what makes you think that? Or the Nationals, after they had that little
they played the trick baseball
of playing
in May.
Very good, yeah, in May. Did they start looking at other teams saying, oh, yeah, we should win this? And then they get a little complacent and they get their tails kicked. And then all of a sudden now, that's the only thing you can look at when you go play the Dodgers and teams of that sort, that they may be overlooking you and not come out to play. Because if they play well enough, I don't think you have enough to beat them.
Well, I know that when we saw the Commanders, Redskins football team at various times do that, we blame coaching. Hmm? The coaches don't have them ready to go.
Yeah.
If they're overlooking the Marlins and the Rockies because they think they're better, you got to look at coaching. I don't know
coaching,
if that's the case.
You look at coaching, but I think the coaching, yes, but players too, because for the most part, coaches are always saying, we can't overlook people. We got to perform. But you hear players every day that say they don't read anything in the paper. But you just listen to them, and they have very coded retorts to everything that somebody says in the media. So they actually read everything. So a lot of times the coach says it, and they tell you about it, and they push it. But you got to have also a leadership on the team that can also push that in the locker room.
They very much lack
what they have now,
a true veteran leader.
Yeah, and that's the thing with
Riz
that team right
now.
Riz
got asked about that this morning, and he pointed to Nathaniel Lowe, and God bless Nathaniel Lowe, but that's not what Jason Worth was when they needed him.
Your leader is normally, see, the thing of it, Nathaniel Lowe's been around for a while. What has he really done?
I tell you, he's hitting .230.
Around when you start thinking about it, is he a guy that young guy look at and say, nah, whatever that guy say, I'm gonna listen to? Maybe not.
Listen to these records by month, B. So they started ugly, right? It was 1-3. I think, didn't they open 1-6 or something? But then in April, they kind of turned it around. 12-15 in April. May was the good month. They had a winning record in the month of May, 15-12. In June now, it's only June 18th, I think, right? June 18th. This baseball team is 2-13 in the month of June. Bro, you have 13 losses in the month. It's only the 18th day of the month.
Yeah.
You're at...
They lost, 10 straight, Jay.
You're at everything's on the table. And, as a team, as a team, I'm not a math guy, but dude, they have 38 RBIs as a team this month. Think about that. Like, they have 38 RBIs as a team this month.
Yeah.
And I guess none of it should be surprising when you've only, when you've lost 10 in a row and you're 2-13 in the month.
But that tells you why they're losing.
They're batting collectively as a team this month, 218.
Not that good.
You go, you watch Mackenzie Gore go throw a gem and get no run support, and then the bullpen sucks, and it just, dude, fans are incredibly frustrated. At some point, Anna's going to call. We're going to open the phone lines up. I don't think you have, like, it's this two-car accident where they're just, you have the weight of the immediate, right? You have the gravity of a 10-game losing streak of going 2-13 this month.
Uh-huh.
But then there's also the collective frustration of 5 years of nothing.
Yep.
And I get that rebuilds don't always happen in the right time frame, and things, Rizzo likes to say rebuilds aren't linear. I understand that. But what is linear is a straight decline. Like, the numbers are the numbers. The math is the math.
See, but as we look at this thing, I know everyone points at a coach or manager. But a coach and a manager don't ever start a rebuild. Front office, GM, they start the rebuilds. Ownership starts rebuilds. Players that come in, you play well, you stay around. You don't play well, you'll be around. When you start looking at the performances of a lot of people here, and when they get to the point of being good, do you think a lot of those people are going to be still on the team? Probably not. So as we go through this thing, I know where all the vitriol is going to go at. But you also got to point at the people who started it up, because as you just stated, it's been 5 years of this. And that is not just the manager. That's every damn body. So when you say things need to be looked at, normally we think that, oh, yeah, they got to think about getting rid of the manager. You got to think about everything being be checked. Everything. Listen, one thing I learned about sports and sports broadcasting, we are very biased. If we like you, if you give us time, we're going to be more lenient with you. But everybody has to be checked in this thing. Not just Davey. Everybody.
Since the World Series year, and I, you know what? We can even throw out the COVID year. They only played 60 games. Like, who knows what that was, right? They've finished dead last or second to last in the division every year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt and removing 2020. In 21, they went 65-97. In 22, they went 55-107. Last 2 years, there's been a pair of 71-91s. And this year, through 73 games, they're 13 games under 500. Mm-hmm. Like, what the hell? And dude, I think I don't know, but it sure seems to me ownership is checked out.
Yeah, but every time, if you're rebuilding and people see progress, fans will support it. But if they don't see that progress, they're not going to support it. And I just think, like I've listened to a lot of people, a lot of shows. Everybody is pointing at Davey. Davey's not doing this by himself. You got to check. Everybody else has to look inside themselves and look in the mirror too. You know, we love Rizzo. And I understand you could say that ownership is checked out. But hey, if you look at this roster right now, you can't tell me that that damn bullpen is anything worth competing.
Have you heard I think it's Morgan Wallen and Post Malone's song, I Had Some Help?
Hmm?
And it's the premise is like, yeah, I'm pretty screwed up, but there were a lot of people along the way handing me, you know, drugs and booze and whatever else. Like, I had some help getting to this spot. Like,
but you could have said no.
Davey's not getting it done, but there's plenty of blame here.
Yeah, it's a plenty of blame. So, that's just where I'm at. And I know people are pissed off. Hell, I'm pissed off. But I also know there's never just one person that's at fault. It's especially when it's as bad as it's been.
Dude, I don't know that ownership's paying attention, because if they are, they've got to be furious. But I bet they'll notice this. Last night against the Rockies, they're claiming 17,000 fans were there.
That's how many tickets probably were
right.
sold.
You know what? Now, I get Monday night might not be the hottest ticket, and maybe kids were still in school, blah, blah, blah. You know how many fans were there Monday night?
Right.
11,000. Dude.
I mean, if 11,000 were there Monday, you think 17 came to a game when your team is now on a 9-10 game losing streak and you're playing against an awful team? The Rockies are not drawing no damn fans.
No.
So that's a lie. They did not have 17,000 last night.
Dude, even when the Cubs were in town.
And maybe how many tickets they could have sold or they thought they sold, but that wasn't 17,000 people sitting there.
I mean, the numbers are staggeringly bad. This team is desperate for a win. I'm going to take this. David is in Raleigh. People are calling. David, what's up, man?
Yeah, how you guys doing today?
Doing good, man.
I want to say I 100% agree with you earlier, JP. We have no veteran leadership. I mean, Nathaniel Lowe, bro, is like, he's vanilla, bro. Like, he's not inspiring anyone. And I heard Rizzo say that Davey is a player's manager. I mean, all season, I haven't seen a whole lot of fun going on. Like, even these young teams, when they lose, you look at the bench, guys are smiling, guys are joking, they're having a little bit of fun. Now, it's not going to have fun when you lose a 9-10 in a row, but this was happening 2 weeks ago as well. I think the ownership is an issue, but I think Davey has to go. I think they need sometimes a new voice helps. And I don't want to ruin these young guys, and, you know, you're surrounded with B-list veterans. And it's just not good enough, and I'm sick of it. It's not year one, year two, year three. It's year five, bro. Like, I'm a huge Nats fan. I'm already tuned out. It's not even July.
It's a great call. Yeah. Thank you, David. Listen,
how people pissed, man.
You lose 10 in a row in this sport. You go 2-13 in the month. Firing the coach is absolutely on the table. That's how baseball works, dude. And that caller said something that I think is really important to keep in mind. When you've got young stars, like James Wood is a legit young star.
Yeah, yeah.
Mackenzie Gore looks like he's going to be a young star, like a future Cy Young contender. Dude, if you have them just in this jet wash of suck, what are you doing to them long term?
Yeah, you don't want to scar them.
And that becomes a real part of this.
Yeah.
And I don't know what those answers are. Let's go to Connor in Blacksburg. Connor.
What up, Connor? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I listened to the show with the Junks this morning, and I don't feel reassured, like, at all. I mean, you know, he mentions 2019 too many times. I mean, it was 6 years ago. And, I mean, like, there's only so many times where you can say, like, hey, we hear you, you know, fans have the right to be frustrated and we feel for the fans and all that stuff. And it's like, it just feels like movement without accomplishment because you're still losing in the exact same way. I mean, Rizzo doesn't get mentioned a lot. They still spent $50 million in the offseason on players. And other than bringing back Finnegan, like, all of those guys that they brought in, including trading for Lowe, it didn't work out. And, like, I mean, at what point do you kind of just treat this team like people treated the Skins for a long time, which is just spend your money elsewhere? Because the reason I'm in Blacksburg, guys, is I go to VT, but I'm working in a legal aid society right now, and I see people every day who don't have, like, the money to afford legal services, and yet I'm thinking about the people back home who are spending hundreds of dollars on tickets, concessions, and obnoxious prices for parking and dealing with DC traffic. Like,
there's less and less of them doing it, dude.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate the call, Connor.
Thanks.
Thanks, bud. all right. If you're calling about Davey and the Nats, we're taking calls all day.
All day.
We are going to talk to an expert, though. Mark Zuckerman has seen it all for the Washington Nationals organization. We got to ask Zuck, is this about as rock bottom as it's been? Because
famous words of Leslie Shepard, rock bottom.
That's right. That's right. Man, I always walk like this. I don't know the answer here, But I do know the answer if you're looking to buy or sell a house. And there's only one thing you should do. There's only one group, one person we roll with. That is John Leahy.
Just like Javier and Alma did. They wanted a new home and something updated to help serve as a new beginning. But first, they need to sell their Silver Spring property in order to buy. And while it was stressful, Dustin and a member of John Leahy's team with the Fine Living Group showed them the strategy to execute both transactions, both at the same time and hassle-free. Alma and Javier's home ended up selling for top dollar, almost 20 grand over the asking price.
20K?
Yep. And thanks to the Fine Living Group, that's what enabled them to buy something both newer and bigger. Looking for your own stress-free transaction? How about a guaranteed offer on your home? Check out those details and more at johnsellsdmv.com. That's John without an H. It's our friend, John Leahy and the Fine Living Group of eXp Realty. John offers you flexible fees, customized for your needs, and he knows that life happens. So as needed, he will let you out of your contract at any time.
Well, and you know what helps if you're thinking about listing your home is you, everybody's reading, oh, is the Fed going to cut interest rates? How's this going to work out? Well, you know what John has already? A deep bench of buyers. He has the buyers already qualified, mortgage letters in hand, ready to go. So if you're thinking about listing, call John, and he could sell that house before you even have to deal with a public showing or any of it. You can get it done off market, man. John could get it done. Call him today, 301-900-3052. Go online to johnsellsdmv.com. Or what's even easier, you could just Google John Leahy Group and start packing.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Big trouble in Natstown, man. Big trouble in Natstown.
Yep, sounds like it.
Nobody knows the organization better than our friend Mark Zuckerman from Masson. You can watch him, read all his work at MassonSports.com. Zuck, how are you, dude? I know being in losing locker room sucks. You doing all right?
I'm doing fine. Thank you, guys. Yeah, look, I've seen one 10-game losing streak before. It happened in 2008. That wasn't fun. That was a team that lost over 100 games. This one obviously is not fun to be around. You'd much rather be around a team that's winning. But as part of the job, you know it. You covered some pretty bad teams at times.
Yes, he did.
Over in Ashburn. You know how this goes. And honestly, as ugly as this has felt here over the last several days, I'm guessing it's nothing compared to what you guys have dealt with that other franchise
not
over
at all.
The years.
Sure.
But what seems to be the problem? I mean, I understand rebuild, young guys, but it doesn't, like one caller just said, it doesn't seem like they're having fun.
Well, it's hard to have fun when you can't score runs. I mean, what's happening right now, you know, in the smaller picture is they can't score. And it wasn't that long ago, it was like 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, that they scored 9 runs in 4 straight games. And you thought, wow, look at this team, look what they can do. And since then, they've done almost nothing offensively, and that's really what it boils down to. I mean, yeah, there are some games that the pitching hasn't been good. Last night, the bullpen was a mess. But the consistent theme here is that they just don't score runs. They dig themselves into an early hole, and that's why it looks like they're not having fun, because you can see you can see the pressure that they're all feeling, and what happens is they're trying too hard to make something happen, and that only makes it worse. I think Davey's message, whether it's coming through or not, but this is kind of always the way he's been, and I think it's a similar message he gave in 2019 when things were bad at 19-31. It was just relax, go out there, have fun, and you know things will turn out all right for you in the end. It's when you start worrying about it, when you start pressing, that it goes bad. Now, that 2019 team had a whole lot of experienced veterans who could maybe lean on some experience to get through it. This team has a lot of young guys who don't know that yet, and I think that's why you're seeing them struggle so much.
Talking with our friend Mark Zuckerman from Masson Sports. You can follow him, excuse me, at Mark Zuckerman, joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. Zuck, I've kind of landed in a spot where my biggest baseball's it's a marathon, dude. Just 160 games, losing streaks happen. Maybe not this long, obviously, but I'm starting to be concerned what happens with these young players that are the future of the organization, and like how significant of an impact can this have on the mindsets of guys like Gore and Wood? You know what I mean? Like, they're trying to build something. They just called up Brady House, but you bring these kids into a situation that is rough.
Very rough.
What does that do?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is a very valid concern, is how do you get young guys to learn how to cope with this and not let it like affect them in a bigger picture and, you know, I won't say ruin their careers, but, you know, can have a negative effect on them. And I think that's where the lack of a lot of experience in that clubhouse is probably hurting them. You know, they've got some guys like Josh Bell, Nathaniel Lowe, Trevor Williams, who've been there before, but this isn't Jason Wirth, Ryan Zimmerman, Max Scherzer leading the way. And I do think that is a concern. And so it is up to, in that case, Davey and his coaches in a lot of ways to help these young guys get through this, navigate through it, and understand how you do that. Now, you know, we'll see how they come out on it, on the back end of it. In a weird way, as bad as the results have been here, if you look at an individual level, James Wood's still having a great year. C.J. Abrams has done really well here, even as the team has gone south. Mackenzie Gore continues to pitch well. I mean, we just seen Brady House for two games, but he's looked pretty poised for a rookie in this kind of situation. So in a weird way, the kids seem to be doing all right, but what you don't want to have is them kind of become ingrained in a losing culture and not know what it takes to get out of it. And I think that's why they do have to get this thing back on track here soon. You know, even if it doesn't mean that they're challenging for a playoff spot this year, you've got to show some signs of progress to make everybody believe that this thing is actually headed in the right direction in the long run.
Well, everybody is probably stressed in this situation, and it's tough on everybody, even Davey. And in an interview, he seemed to be pointing the fingers at the players. I'm sure that wasn't his main little goal. Did any players react to that comment that he made?
Yeah, they didn't like it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, B. Mitch, like, you wouldn't want your coach coming out and saying something like that. That doesn't go over well. Now, that said, Davey Martinez is maybe the, you know, in the top five among players managers in baseball, maybe even higher than that. I mean, for 8 years, he has been a staunch supporter of his players, maybe at times to a fault even. And so I think when the dust settled from that, from the initial kind of shock of it, he'd never really said anything like that publicly before. And I think that was him showing a lot of frustration over what has been going on here lately. And, you know, asked a question about his coaching staff. He's really close with his coaches. Most of these are guys that he either played with or has had long relationships with. He purposely wanted to put together a staff of people that he was comfortable with. And when the performance isn't going well and they come under criticism, he's going to want to defend them, which mm-hmm. is his right to do that. He could have articulated it a whole lot better,
yeah.
I think, is the biggest issue. You come out and you say, hey, it's not the coach's fault. You can't blame it on them. You can't blame it on me. You can't blame it on the players. We're all in this thing together.
Yeah.
We win as a team. We lose as a team. That's what he should have said. I honestly believe that's what he believes. And I just think in that one moment he said the wrong thing or didn't say it the right way. So no, it didn't go over well in the clubhouse, but I think, you know, over the last couple of days, there's been some work done to rectify that. And I'll say this, it looked awful last night when it was falling apart in the seventh inning and they're down 10-1. And I'm thinking to myself, oh boy, is this, you know, is this it? Is this the end of the road?
Right.
And then what did they do? They scored four runs in the bottom of the ninth and almost brought the tying run to the plate. Now it was way too little, way too late. And there's still a huge problem of them offensively. But that right there has been a hallmark of Davey's teams for 8 years now. We joke about it, but the boys always do battle to the end, and I do think that's a reflection of the manager.
Zuck, you've seen a lot in baseball, and we've seen, I think, three clubs this year have already fired a manager. It kind of seems to have worked for the O's, at least a little bit of a bounce. I don't know firing the manager necessarily does much, but I know the fans are pissed, and they want him gone. How realistic do you think a move is? Rizzo was on with the Junks this morning and sure didn't seem like anything is imminent. How realistic do you think a move is to get rid of Davey? And will it, does it help?
Yeah, well, based on what Riz seemed to say on your station about an hour ago, it doesn't sound like anything is imminent in that regard. And I didn't necessarily believe that it would be. I mean, these two have been through a lot together. They've stuck together through a lot of things. I think there's a lot of respect there, and I think there's an acknowledgement that this isn't about any one person, and that mm-hmm. you know, a change in manager. You look at teams that did. The Orioles were a team that was widely expected to win big this year. It fell apart. You change the manager. You hope that that then spurs you to be what you're supposed to be. The Pirates didn't have huge expectations, but felt like it was time to turn a corner, especially with Paul Skeens. They were playing awful baseball. They fired the manager. They have played better as well since the change. The Rockies were historically bad. Bud Black had been there a long time. Nobody really blamed him, but they said, okay, it's time to make a change. Well, they've still been pretty bad. So to me, you make that move if you believe that this team should be better and should be in a position to win, and that somebody else with a different voice is going to step in and get more out of their players. I don't know if they really have somebody who's going to do that in a different way than Davey in the organization currently. And I don't know that this is a team that is really designed to go on a kind of hot streak that gets them into a wild card race. Sure. I don't think they're there yet. So I think it's more of an end of season kind of question. They have a contract option for him for next year. I could see a reevaluation of him, of Rizzo, of everybody in the organization as this plays out. Now, the caveat to that is you keep losing games and you mm-hmm. got to do something.
Yeah.
And, you know, if this thing keeps dragging on, it could be coaches, it could be the manager. Like, I would completely understand why you would do something like that, but I don't think it's their intention to, other than if this thing really gets out of control and you say, okay, well, we have to do something. We have to send some kind of message that says, yes, we're paying attention. We care. We're trying to do something different here.
Well, it's like the message is always that, you know, be patient to the fans. What could be said other than that? Because fans have been patient. And what could they say that could make fans say, okay, then we're going to give you this leeway? But just constantly telling the fans to be patient, I think that is getting old real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a year that you were supposed to see real progress. And maybe you still will. I mean, there's more than half a season to go. But what these last 10 games have done is it's dug them into such a hole that it's going to be hard for the bottom line at the end to look like it's that much progress. So internally, they expected to be better than this. Obviously, fans expected more from them this year. And, you know, the one thing that I heard that Riz said, you know, with the Junkies that I kind of disagree with, he said that the rebuild didn't really begin until 2022 with the Soto trade. No, you look back, they traded 8 veterans at the deadline in 21, including Scherzer and Turner. And he said at the time that this was now kind of the start of, he didn't use the word rebuild, but a reboot, I think he called it back then. You know, so we are approaching 4 years into it. And I remember him saying at the time that he felt like they were in a better position organizationally than they were in 2009 when he took over and started the rebuild of that team. That team won a division title in 3 years, and here we are in year 4. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they had to win a division this year, but you got to see some real progress. And it's not all on him. Ownership has not provided the resources that they did in the previous go-around of all this, and that leads to, you know, a roster that doesn't have those veterans that we talked about or big-name stars who can help the young players, guide them through all this. So it starts at the top, but there needs to be real progress made. And at this point this year, we have not seen that on a team level. Even if it's on an individual level, you can say that some guys are having good years.
Mm-hmm. I've been in rooms where I know this. Zuck, those boys could use a win. Let's hope they get one tonight,
yes,
man.
Yes.
Yeah, they desperately need one. I mean, we thought they're playing the Marlins and the Rockies.
But I know.
Hey, here's your chance, and then look what happened. So there's no givens anymore, unfortunately. Maybe it'll happen while they're at Dodger Stadium over the weekend. Wouldn't that be funny?
I mean, baseball's a wild sport. What is the longest losing streak the organization's had?
It was 12 in 2008, August of 2008. That's the only other streak that reached 10, and it got to 12. And that was a team that had lost 100 games. And I looked it up yesterday. The only 9-game losing streaks in team history have all been on teams that lost 100-plus games.
Yeah.
So is that where this one's headed? It doesn't feel like that, but there's a lot of baseball left to be played, so we'll see.
Yeah,
so,
that's the one record you don't want to break.
I know. Well, dude, so I just looked this up. They're at 10 right now, and they don't get Gore pitching until what would be the 13th. So let's hope to hell it doesn't get to McKenzie to to not set an all-timer. Mark, I know you're busy, man. Thank you for making time. Appreciate it.
All right, you got to take care, guys.
All right, man.
That's Mark Zuckerman from Masson Sports. You can watch him on Masson, watch all the Nats games on Masson, read his work at Masson Sports. Great follow, great information. Unfortunately, just right now, all the information sucks. We're going to take a couple calls. we're gonna re-rack Davey over the weekend there, really kind of poured some gasoline on the fire. Nobody go anywhere. It's P. Mitch and Finley.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. FanDuel is the best place to find all your favorite player props for the NBA Finals that are going to be going on again tonight. And now you can make the smarter play with new performance trends. Want to check a player's consistency during the playoffs? Or maybe they've been flirting with a potential triple-double. Get the latest stats right inside the app and see who's heating up. And after the tip-off, you can combine live bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to win big. If you don't already have FanDuel, it's not too late to get in on the action. You'll get started with $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to join today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years or older and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Gambler.
Does he say, I know you're searching for a change in this song? I think he might. And I think the fans are ready for one, man. I don't always like to, you know, see a furious mob and run with them, but 10 in a row, 5 in a row to the Marlins and the Rockies. I'm going to let callers want to vent. And this is your space. This is a safe space, Nats Town. Adam in Purcellville. What's up, dude?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going. Kind of a depressing Wednesday.
You're right about that. So, well, I've long defended Davey since, for the longest time. I liked him when he got the hire. Bryce was obviously a big fan of him, in 2018. I think he really, vouched for him and made it clear that he wanted to play for Davey. But, I don't pin this all on him. But, I remember last month there was an article out saying that they felt that Davey has been lacking the fire and the passion that he once had. I don't know if that's health issues that's going through, but a lot of people have noticed that from him this season, that he doesn't seem to have the fire and the passion that he once had. I think it's starting to show. And, and I said last week that, if they get swept by the Marlins and they lose 2 out of 3 to the Rockies, that to me, that's more than a slump. There's some changes that need to be made. That starts with the top, I believe.
Dude, everything's on the table. You lose 10 in a row like this, everything's on the table. And, it's interesting you talk about the fire. I can't remember what game it was, but I remember Toby was all pissed off that Davey didn't come out to challenge an ump on something.
Mm-hmm. And I believe it was Dylan Cruz when he got caught out on strike 3.
And Cruz was pissed. Cruz kind of said, like, where you at? You know what I mean? To the skipper. And that's... Again, Adam, thanks for the call, bro. Appreciate it. My biggest concern, losing 10 in a row sucks, but that's granular, right? Like, that's micro. My macro concern is all these young guys you're trying to develop and rebuild this team into a real World Series contender, and you're just scarring them.
Yeah.
Like, dude, with the Pirates, all anybody talks about is when and where Skeens is going to get traded. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's because the Pirates have just sucked for so long and they don't spend money. I don't know that we want to look in the mirror on that.
Could be.
Byron's on the line. Byron, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing great, gentlemen. My question is, I understand we want to blame the skip, but ownership has a lot to do with this. When you look at the years leading up to the World Series,
We had pitchers, and you had aces.
Yeah.
Now we don't even have a jack of clubs. Like the bullpen is horrible. I mean, we had a reliever in Doolittle. Who's our reliever? Who's our clutch guy that we can go to close out a game?
Yeah.
We don't have one. I mean, hell, they might as well go to Maryland and get. I mean, just draft some pitchers. You don't have to pay big-time pitchers. You don't want to pay them. Just draft them. We have bats. We have sticks. But, I mean, once upon a time, we used to win a game 2-1, 1-0. Scherzer would go 9. And you would win those close games. But now, I mean, I don't want to say it's the skipper because it's pitching. People want to blame managers when a team doesn't do good. Well, damn it, players got to play. Thank you.
Players got to play, and owners got to spend money, and you know the front office got to give you the right players. Because yes, the manager get blamed. But it's kind of crazy that the two people above the manager that dictate what he has don't get blamed.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Thanks
so that's why I'm just at that point where, yes, Davey is going to get the blame. That's natural. That's been history. That's been going on since the beginning of time. But I don't stop there. I think everybody above him have to play too. But the guys that are called professional athletes, they need to play as well. If you're at this level, you're getting paid to play games. You have to step up and live up to it.
In the month of May, when the Nats played pretty good baseball, had a winning record. They went 15-12 in the month of May. As a team, they struck out 204 times. Through 18 days of June, they have 97 strikeouts.
Damn. It's not looking good. You know, I'm being honest. It is not looking good.
Neil Greenberg joins us next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.